Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Tune Up with Deb is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Once again, here's your host, Deb Ross.
My guest today is Rick Johnson. He is the Business Development Manager for Home Equity Bank. He is also responsible for educating mortgage brokers regarding the CHIP Reverse Mortgage Program. And this is why I've invited him today to educate us regarding the CHIP Reverse Program. Again, Rick, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So just before the break, we were discussing the differences regarding the reverse mortgage as compared with a home equity line of credit. Very interesting differences in terms of accessing money, but just with a completely different perspective, really accessing our own money in our home. So In light of that information, I would like you to take us through the application and approval process so that we have some familiarity with the reverse program. Pardon me, sure. The reverse mortgage program.
Sounds great. Absolutely. The process is relatively simple. The documentation is also, again, very simple. With an application put forth to us either through a mortgage broker or direct through our consumer line. Our first step is, of course, identifying our clients and determining that, in fact, they are age qualified. Two things that, every client requires, and of course, this is consistent with most banking, is that you need, picture ID that's valid and one other piece of ID. And of course, that's, again, to verify who you are and your age, because we are an age-restricted product. Next step after that, once we have an active file in our system, is to arrange for an appraisal. Again, because we don't have a income qualification process, it's based on the appraisal report we get from the appraisers that we send out. The appraisal report is going to tell us about the property. We require that report have pictures of every room in the house, all outbuildings if there are outbuildings, inside and out, and then an attestation by the appraiser as to the value of the property based on what we'd call a normal time on market or an average time on market of, usually around that 60 to 90 day mark. And so based on that valuation, that will determine the amount of money that we can lend. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, that the amount of money that we can lend is age-driven as well as location of the property. So all three factors, age, value, type of property, and the location of the property are going to factor into how much money we can lend.
Okay.
So once we have, once we've determined how much money we can lend, assuming at this point that that is sufficient to cover what the homeowner wants to do, and perhaps even pay out any existing, existing debt, be it credit cards or an existing mortgage, then we go forward and begin processing it. When we're processing it, there's kind of two stages to it. One is the registration, and our lawyers handle the registration of the mortgage on title and clearing any, existing mortgages on title when we pay them out. And the second aspect of that is what we call independent legal advice. And that's something that we require all our clients to attend and realize is the independent legal advice. And that's so that they are absolutely clear and understanding of what is happening and what it is that we're doing. We want absolute transparency with our clients. We have a long-standing reputation that we want to maintain of 94% customer satisfaction, And it's absolutely imperative for us to have our clients be clear as to what it is they're getting into.
Yes.
Once they have ILA and they are, you know, they still want to go forward, then of course we advance funds into their account.
All right. So that's a fairly simplistic process. Probably quite a bit simpler than the original mortgage that the homeowner applied for.
That's correct.
Okay.
Because we don't have to do any income tests, and the new B20 rules are such that you don't qualify based on the interest rate you're being offered. You must qualify at a higher rate or a higher interest rate, and that came into play just this last January. So
yes, and I think that's kind of putting a bit of a shockwave through the mortgage industry in Canada, and of course the new home buyers, of course, as well.
Absolutely, yes.
So what fees or charges are clients responsible for out of pocket?
Well, initially, the only charge that they have to come out of pocket for, in other words, one that can't be dealt with out of proceeds from the lending, is the cost of the appraisal. So that's the initial upfront cost is they pay the appraiser for the report. After that, there's a $1,795 setup fee. It's $1,795 to us, and with that, we pay our lawyers and our administrative costs to register the mortgage. And then there's the cost of the independent legal advice, which is must be done through a lawyer. It cannot be done through a notary here in BC, and that is for that visit that our borrower will have in having all the contracts explained to them by a lawyer. And generally, my understanding is that's around $400.
Okay. So now I had asked for what expenses were paid out of pocket, and it sounds like just the appraisal is paid out of pocket. Are those lawyer proceeds, the lawyer costs and the application costs, are those paid out of mortgage funding?
That's correct,
okay.
Yeah. So it's just the appraisal that is out of pocket initially.
Okay. So generally appraisals, I've seen about $350 to $400. Does that seem about in the right ballpark?
Yeah, I usually quote it around $400, and that's only because I would rather be high than low.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
So what type of payout options are available? Are we looking at just lump sums, or is there monthly payments available as well?
Absolutely. They can take their money any way they want it. Again, it's their money. So they can take it as lump sum, monthly, quarterly, semi-annual, or annual payments, or any combination thereof.
Is there a difference in terms of the interest calculation versus from a lump sum versus the payments?
Yeah, the interest calculated is only on the advance. So whatever money is advanced, the interest begins to accrue on.
Okay. So I imagine the difference then would probably be the homeowner looking that they need the lump sum either for some type of renovation, or they're wanting to give money to their kids while they're still here, as opposed to the children benefiting from the home sale through an estate process. I imagine that's usually where the lump sum payment is most applicable. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. You find all sorts of uses for lump sums. Lump sums pay out existing debt, pay out existing mortgages. With some people, it's they want to purchase a recreation property, renovations to the home. There's a multitude of uses for lump sum payments.
Okay. Talk to us about the monthly payments then, because you had mentioned in our first segment something about tax-free income. I think our listeners would be interested to hear that again.
Absolutely. You know, I want to use an example, if you don't mind, of a lady who had she owed her sister about $35,000, and she went to her sister or went to her financial planner last year and took $35,000 out of her RIF, and paid her sister, and at that point in time she was unaware of any downstream consequences. And what happened was that, come January of this year, she discovered that she no longer qualified for her income supplement, because that $35,000 from her RIF put her income up too high to qualify for the income supplement. So net result is taking money out of her RIF caused her a cash flow issue. She landed up on our doorsteps, and we arranged to take the money out of her home in the form of a reverse mortgage, and that came, that comes out tax free. So, had that been done right up front, she would still have her RIF, accruing interest and growing at its full value. She wouldn't have collapsed that, that investment, and her house would still be accruing, its value at the full value of the home, and she would have taken, whatever money she needed to pay out of her, pay her sister off, just out of the equity of her home without consequences to her cash flow ultimately. So
that's actually quite a moving testimonial.
It is, and we encounter these situations, every day.
Yes.
People that are basically in fixed income, costs have risen to a place where they are living on lines of credit and in very meager lifestyles. One gentleman I know of, was left with after he paid everything off, was left with $170 to buy groceries and put gas in his truck so he could go out to a dance once a week. And $170 in 1 month does not buy a lot of groceries.
No, it certainly does not. So how does a reverse mortgage get settled at the end of the term?
Well, the term is determined by the client. We see many reasons, that people, want to ultimately leave their home. One is they've come to a point where they just can't manage it anymore. So they sell their home to move into assisted living, or they, downsize or right size. I mean, and even then, when they're buying their new home, they can use, a reverse mortgage in that purchase. So the settlement, the average time that we see a payout or even a payment, because again, there's no payments, on a reverse mortgage, is about 14 years.
Okay.
And so the reason for the payout is always client-driven.
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear that comment. That is all the time we have for today. My guest has been Rick Johnson. He is the Business Development Manager for Home Equity Bank, and he has been discussing with us the details of the CHIP Reverse Program. Thank you again, Rick, for joining me. I appreciate your time.